If I were to ask you what was the most important thing that you did this past week, what might you answer?
Well, we finally completed that office merger. It was really a bear to do it. We had to get all of the departments together, and all of the department heads had to submit their budgets, and then we had to rewrite projections for the next 5 years. But we made the presentation to the executive staff, and we finally got it together.
That dinner, I got to tell you, we pulled together a dinner, and in the middle of a pandemic, having a dinner where people can come together and feel comfortable and be safe at the same time is not an easy thing. And the souffle, you know, because of the weather changing, have you ever tasted my souffle? It is really very hard to make.
Look, dude, I'm no carpenter, but I've been telling my wife for the last 6 weeks that I'm going to put up this shelving, you know, in the room. And it was really tougher than I thought it would be. I had to go to the hardware store 3 times, buy a new drill, get some anchors for the drywall, and kept coming out, and I had to measure the shelving. But I got it up. I finally got it up last week. I'm not going to do it again, though.
You know, there are a lot of important things that we squeeze into a week. But may I suggest to you that none of those things you just mentioned was the most important thing that was done last week. In fact, undoubtedly, the most important thing that you did last week was what you did when you stopped your doing. And that is that you went to sleep. That's right. We tend not to think of sleep as something that we do. In fact, most of us are beginning to look at sleep as something that gets in the way of our doing. We kind of treat sleep like the red-haired stepchild of living. We live in an age where we have banished the night with the power of our incandescence, and we've got this 24-hour lifestyle that allows us to remain stimulated all day long and all night as well. The fact of the matter is that we take work to bed with us, and we sort of view sleep as the province of the lazy and unambitious. But I'm almost sure that if the Creator has designed an activity that He wants us to spend one-third of our life doing, it would be a serious mistake to disregard that activity. So today, let's take a moment to shift the paradigm, and let's take another look at an activity that we have disregarded quite a bit as we consider the rest of your story. We human beings are so invested in our conscious activity that we really believe that unless we are actively pushing buttons and pulling levers, that nothing is really happening. But the truth of the matter is that the Creator has designed that fully one-third of our lives, 8 hours out of every day, might be utilized in an activity that we call sleep. The fact of the matter is that the divine engineer in creating this thing that we call sleep might have given us the most miraculous of all of his gifts. We'll explore the deeper meaning of this gift of sleep. But first, let's entertain an invitation extended to us from one of America's finest male gospel ensembles. Commissioned invites us to lay our troubles down.
You'll find it's very easy.
There's a new joy to be found.
A life of liberty.
Every one of heartache. the sun will shine again. And I know that you can make it when you lay your troubles
troubles down. I am reminded of the words of the psalmist, cast your burdens on the Lord, for he will sustain you. And the invitation comes from the Lord himself, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't you want to lay your troubles down? That's the group commissioned from their live reunion tour, reminding us that we can lay our troubles down. I'm reminded of that prayer that we were taught when we were children. Now I lay me down to sleep. Sleep. You know, it's amazing how little thought we give to this huge portion of our lives called sleep. We tend to think of sleep as something that happens when we have nothing else to do, and we kind of look at sleep as the sort of the bastard child of our experience. But what we don't realize is that every night as we wind down from the day and get ready for bed, that our brain and our bodies get together in a delicate dance and prepares for the most important activity of the day, which is sleeping. Clusters of sleep-promoting neurons in many parts of the brain become active as we get ready for bedtime. Nerve-signaling chemicals called neurotransmitters switch on and switch off, and the body gets cues to become relaxed, and we prepare to venture into that distant realm of life called sleeping. Our entire living biosphere is ready now for changes, subtle changes that will take place, and a restorative magic that exceeds our imagination that will begin when we close our eyes. It's no wonder that the psalmist said in Psalm 127 in verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." Like many other gifts, we underestimate the value of what God has given to us in this gift of sleep. And we confine it to individuals who are either lazy or indolent. I spoke with Dr. Lourdes Del Rosso of Peru. She is a sleep physician at the Seattle Children's Hospital and the co-chair of World Sleep Day. And she had this to say.
There's this cultural thought that sleep is associated with laziness, or that if you sleep in, then you're going to miss out on a big opportunity in life.
You may have missed that because of her delightful Peruvian accent, but she said that people think that sleep is what lazy people do, and that if you sleep, you'll miss out on big opportunities. They've even created a name for it now. The young people call it FOMO, fear of missing out. And just like children, I remember as a child when I was told it was time to go to bed, I had this great dread of all of the things that I would miss when I closed my eye and sleep. And I hated to go to bed because I didn't want to miss out on anything. But here's the real truth. When you go to sleep, not only are you not missing out on anything, you are preparing yourself for extraordinary things that are happening you're just not in control of them when they happen.
To think that sleep is a passive state where our bodies are simply quiescent and there's nothing really going on upstairs in the mind is an absolute falsehood.
That's Dr. Matthew Walker, the author of the book Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams.
We made that mistake for a long time, thinking that sleep was just this sort of passive, negotiable state. Upstairs in the brain, for example, during some stages of sleep, particularly rapid eye movement sleep, which is the stage from which most of our dreaming occurs, some parts of your brain are 30% more active than when you're awake.
Follow me now. I'm going somewhere with this, but you just listened to the guy who wrote the book on sleep saying that when we sleep, our brains in certain ways are more active than when we're actually awake. Now that begs the question, what's our brain doing when we're not awake to tell it what to do? Well, for the first thing, when we sleep, our brains transform into some kind of supercomputer that uses a different kind of program that allows us to do some different things. Here's what one sleep scientist had to say about it.
As you drift off, the electrical activity in your brain changes. Alpha brain waves give way to the large, slow theta and delta waves.
I never heard that before, but last week I was speaking to a good friend of mine, Rhonda Davis, who is the CEO of Radiance Restoration and a health advocate, and she told me that when I'm going to sleep, my brain is going to work and talking to itself in a different language.
But your brain isn't shutting down. In fact, when you enter rapid eye movement or REM sleep, your brain is just as active as when you are awake.
Now, I had heard about this REM sleep, which is an acronym for rapid eye movement, and I knew it was descriptive of something going on physically while we were asleep, but I didn't know what this deeper level of sleep was all about. I didn't realize that this was a time when our living being would be undergoing restorative work. I turned back to Dr. Walker to find out exactly what might be going on while we were in this deeper level of sleep.
Upstairs in the brain, for example, during some stages of sleep, particularly rapid eye movement sleep, which is the stage from which most of our dreaming occurs, some parts of your brain are 30% more active than when you're awake. There is certainly a lot of repair that happens. I mean, your immune system gets an overhaul. It kicks into high gear. It repairs cellular damage.
So when I'm going to sleep, it's almost like I'm going to the repair shop and things are being fixed. My immune system is being rebuilt. Cellular damage is being repaired. Now, I want to remind you, I'm going somewhere with this in just a few moments. Stay with me. But first, let's listen to Dr. Charles Seisler, the director of Harvard University's Sleep Clinic.
Now, another really key function of sleep that has just only recently been discovered has been the clearing of toxins from the brain.
So there's a construction team that comes in first to build up my immune system and to repair cellular damage. And then after that, there's a disposal team that comes in to get rid of toxins in my brain. Where do they come from and exactly what are they?
There are some byproducts, metabolic byproducts of energy that are essentially debris in the brain. It's kind of like in your car, you begin to build up sludge in the oil and you need to change the oil and get the sludge out. Well, in the brain, we build up toxic metabolites. And if we don't clear those out, they can be toxic to neurons in the brain. And that's one of the things that's associated with, for example, Alzheimer's disease.
Now, that really gets my attention. It appears to be saying that Alzheimer's is associated with a deprivation of sleep. And I wanted to make sure that I heard him right. Is he saying that sleep has an impact on fighting Alzheimer's disease?
It is during sleep that these newly discovered glymphatic channels actually expand and flush out these toxins when we are asleep. And that turns out to be a critical function of sleep, and once this was discovered in 2012, it began to make people realize why there was an association with both sleep disorders and with people with insufficient sleep with an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease and other degenerative brain diseases.
So Dr. Seisler is saying that it is during our sleeping time that these channels, lymphatic channels, are activated in the brain that allow us to flush out toxins from our brain. This is crucial repair. This is meaningful restoration. Our cells are being built up. Our immune system is being enhanced. Channels are formed in the brain that allow us to dispose of toxins that can build up and lead to Alzheimer's. And then he mentions the word disorders because it stands to reason that if all of these things are happening while we're asleep, that if we don't take care, if we are not watchful, there are things that can be damaged that will prevent us from having sleep. And there are sleeping disorders. I turned back to Dr. Lourdes Del Rosso and ask her about those disorders, and she explained that there are six of them.
Yeah, we have six groups of disorders. So we have the disorders that are the insomnia, where we have trouble sleeping, disorders of hypersomnia, when we're really sleepy during the day or when we sleep longer hours. We have sleep-related breathing disorders, which a lot of people are more aware lately about obstructive sleep apnea, for example, wearing a CPAP machine. We have parasomnias, which are like you're sleepwalking, you're sleep talking. We have circadian rhythm disorders, which are like, for example, you're in the East Coast, I'm in the West Coast, and if I go right there right now, which I would love to, then I would have a little bit trouble sleeping at my right time. So circadian misalignment disorders. And finally, we have the motor disorders, for example, restless leg syndrome or movements during sleep.
There are a lot of things that need to go right while we're sleeping, but we need to take care to make sure that things are not going wrong that prevent the healing mechanisms of sleep from having their beneficial effect on our bodies. Dr. Del Rosso said there's insomnia, where we're not getting enough sleep, hypersomnia, where we're getting too much sleep, breathing disorders like sleep apnea, parasomnia, where we're having issues with our sleep, circadian rhythm disorders, where we are perhaps switching between time zones and we can't seem to figure out what time we should be sleeping. And then there are motor disorders, where we are moving about and our bodies don't come to the proper rest when we are sleeping. There is so much that we need to know and understand better about this thing that God has given to us called sleep. But remember, I said that I was going somewhere with this talk about sleep, so let me get there. You see, sleep is more than simply the resting of the body. It is a metaphor for the rest that God gives, but more importantly, it is a metaphor for trusting when we are not in control. When we go to sleep, and sleep is an amazing repair shop for our body and our spirits and our souls. When we go to sleep, we let go of control. And then things happen that need to happen. We're not in control of them, but we are trusting that it will turn out okay. This is what God asks for us all the time. To recognize that we don't have to be in control for things to turn out right. That we don't have to have our hands on the steering wheel for the destination to arrive as it should. We have to learn how to let go and to recognize that the engineer of our souls, of our bodies, of our spirits, of our being, has already written into the DNA, into the map of eternity, what needs to happen. I don't have to be in control for things to work out the way that God wants them to. And every time that we lay our heads down at night, and every time that we close our eyes in rest, we're saying as an act of trust, I believe, God, that you've got this, that I can lay my head down in peace and that things will go well, that even when I'm not watching and I'm not steering and I'm not controlling, that you have designed it so that things will work out. I'm reminded of that passage, that all things work together for good to those who know and who love and who are called according to the promise. I'm reminded of that passage in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Sleep teaches us how to trust, and trust allows us to be at peace. I am hoping that as we lay our heads down tonight, we will remember that our peace comes not from how well we've planned or how much work we've done. Our peace comes from the fact that we are trusting in one who has engineered a destiny that is greater than anything that we could plan for ourselves. Because God really does intend to give peace to his people. Let's go old school now as we contemplate the peace that God gives. This is Wanda Lott, and the name of the song is He Gives Me Peace.
There are some times I get weary. Sometimes I have burdens and I have no one to turn to, and I feel so all alone, but I have a friend who lifts burdens.
Peace coming down.
peace not like the world gives, but the peace that God gives that passes understanding. That's the consecrated witness of an anointed psalmist, Wanda Lott, singing He Gives Me Peace. That song impacts me the way it did the first time I heard it decades ago, Wanda Lott singing He Gives Me Peace. Well, folks, I hope that you will take another look at the gift that God has given you in the form of the gift of sleep. It's not just a time when you close your eyes and nothing happens, but God is showing you that even when you are not controlling things, that He has designed it so that things will work out to your benefit. It is the God who says that when you let go, He has engineered things in such a way that indeed all things will work out together for good to those who love and trust Him. So when you lay your head down tonight, realize and remember that your sleep is a gift from God, that you're repairing and you're being restored, and that amazing things can happen when you learn to let go. We want to remind you that this program is being brought to you by Message Magazine, the nation's oldest continuously published African-American religious journal. We thank all of our guests who contributed to our program today. And I'm Nick Taliaferro, the host of this program, reminding you that every life has a narrative and every narrative tells a story and every story needs rest. And this has been The Rest of Your Story. Stay woke, but get some sleep. Peace to you.